So as I diligently prepared this week in and around everything else for Shabbat, there was a good conversation going on one of my rabbi listservs, which was essentially this: what are you doing this Friday night? Now, in the old world, rabbis traditionally would only preach two times a year, right? Once on the Shabbat right before Pesach to teach everyone the laws and the rules, and once on the Shabbat between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Shabbat Tshuva, so that we could tell you all, repent, repent, repent. Now, much as I like a good fire and brimstone sermon, I don't get to give those very often, but boy, those are fun. It's not usually my style. What I found, actually, is I am not alone in that on Shabbat Shuvah, I like to tell a story. And actually, my email and my Facebook feed and my rabbi listservs were filled with all kinds of interesting stories. And wouldn't you know it, the one that I tend to tell on this particular Shabbat is one that many people tend to tell on this Shabbat. So we are not alone in hearing this, even if you've heard it from me before, but its message is so appropriate for us on this Shabbat. So I'm going to tell it to you once again, but I'll let you find the high holiday message that's embedded in it. The story is called If Not Higher by the great Yiddish writer Y.L. Peretz. Here's what he said. During the month before Rosh Hashanah, there is a custom for Jews to get up early to say Slichot, prayers asking for forgiveness from God. And every Friday morning during these prayers, the rabbi of Nemiroff would disappear. He would simply vanish. He was nowhere to be seen, not in the synagogue, not in the house of study. He certainly was not at home. His door stood wide open. Whoever wished could go in and out. No one would steal from the rabbi. But there was not a living creature inside. Where could the rabbi be? Where should he be? He must surely be up in heaven, his disciples decided. A rabbi has plenty of business just before the high holy days. Jews, God bless them, need a living and peace and health and good matches for marriage. They try their best to be good, but it isn't easy, and so our sins are many. Who can help us if not the rabbi? That's what the people thought. Well, one day a Litvak heard the people talking about the rabbi being up in heaven, and he laughed. You know the Litvaks. They think little of spiritual things, but stuff themselves with the laws of Talmud. So this Litvak points to a passage in the law where it is said that not even Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, did not ascend to heaven in his lifetime, but he remained suspended 2.5 feet below. Go argue with a Litvak. So where can the rabbi be if not in heaven? That's not my business, said the Litvak, shrugging. Yet all the while, what could a Litvak do? He is scheming to find out. That same night, right after the evening prayers, the Litvak sneaks into the Rebbe's room, slides under the rabbi's bed, and waits. He'll watch all night and discover where the rabbi vanishes during the Slichot morning prayers of forgiveness. Someone else might have gotten drowsy and fallen asleep, but a Litvak is never at a loss. He recites an entire book of Talmud by heart just to keep awake. Well, at dawn, he hears the call to prayer. The rabbi has already been awake for a long time. The Litvak has heard him groaning for a whole hour. Whoever has heard the rabbi of Nemiroff groan knows how much suffering, how much sorrow for Israel lies in each groan. Your heart could break just hearing it, but a Litvak is made of iron. He listens and remains where he is. The rabbi, long life to him, lies on the bed and the Litvak under the bed. Then the Litvak hears the beds in the house begin to creak. He hears people jumping out of their beds, mumbling a few Jewish words, pouring water on their hands, banging doors. Everyone has left. It is quiet and dark again. Now, afterwards, the Litvak admitted that when he found himself alone with the rabbi, a great fear took hold of him. Goose pimples spread across his skin to be alone with the rabbi at the time of the Slichot prayers. But a Litvak is stubborn, so he quivered like a fish in water, but remained where he was. Finally, the rabbi gets up. First, he says his morning blessings. Then he goes to a closet and takes out a bundle of peasant clothes, linen trousers, high boots, a coat, a big felt hat, and a long, wide leather belt studded with brass nails. The rabbi gets dressed in these unusual clothes, and from his coat pocket dangles the end of a heavy peasant rope. The rabbi goes out, and the Litvak follows him. On the way, the rabbi stops in the kitchen, bends down, takes an axe from under the bed, puts it in his belt, and leaves the house. The Litvak trembles but continues to follow. You can feel the approach of the holy days. There is a hushed awe hanging over the dark streets. Every once in a while, a cry can be heard from a prayer minyan where the Slichot prayers are being said, or from a sickbed. The rabbi stays to the sides of the streets, keeping to the shade of the houses. He glides from house to house, and the Litvak after him. The Litvak heard the sound of his own heartbeat mingling with the sound of the rabbi's heavy steps. But he keeps on going and follows the rabbi to the edge of town. A small wood stands behind the town. The rabbi enters the wood. He takes 30 or 40 steps and stops by a small tree. The Litvak, overcome with amazement, watches as the rabbi takes the axe out of his belt and strikes the tree. He hears the tree creak and fall. The rabbi chops the tree into logs and the logs into sticks. Then he makes a bundle of all the wood and ties it with the rope in his pocket. He puts the bundle of wood on his back, shoves the axe back in his belt, and returns to the town. He stops at a back street beside a small broken-down shack and knocks on the window. "Who is there?" asks a frightened voice. The Litvak recognizes it as the voice of a sick Jewish woman in town. "I," says the rabbi, in the accent of a peasant. "Who is I?" Again, the rabbi answers in Russian, "Vasil." "Who is Vasil, and what do you want?" "I have wood to sell, very cheap." And not waiting for the woman's reply, he goes into the house. The Litvak sneaks in after him. In the gray light of early morning, he sees a poor room with a broken, miserable furniture. A sick woman wrapped in rags lies on the bed. She complains bitterly. "Buy? How can I buy? Where will a poor widow get money?" "I'll lend it to you," answers the rabbi, disguised as Vasil the peasant. "It's only 6 cents." "And how will I ever pay you back?" asks the poor woman, groaning. "Foolish one," says the rabbi. "See, you are a poor sick Jew, and I am ready to trust you with a little bit of wood. I'm sure you'll pay. While you have such a great and mighty God, and you don't even trust God for 6 cents." "Who will kindle the fire?" asks the widow. "Have I the strength to get up? My son is at work." "I'll kindle the fire," says the rabbi. As the rabbi puts the wood into the oven, he recites in a groan the first part of the Slichot prayers, asking for God's forgiveness. And as he kindled the fire and the wood burned brightly, he recited a bit more joyously the second part of the Slichot prayers. When the fire was set, he recited the third part, and then he shut the stove. The Litvak, who saw all of this, was so moved. Litvaks are not known for being Hasidim. In fact, they're the opposite of Hasidim. But he was so moved by all of this, he became a follower of the rabbi. And from that day forth, whenever any of the people would tell how the rabbi of Nemirov goes up to heaven at the time of penitential prayers, the Litvak wouldn't laugh. He would only add quietly, "if not higher." May this Shabbat Shuvah, this Sabbath of turning and returning, help us turn to our better selves, making our way towards ultimate slichot and forgiveness on Yom Kippur. Shabbat Shalom.